reforms will lead to more crime.
Criminalising people who possess it was a disproportionate and unhelpful thing to do.
London Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan backs a fundamental reset of the laws on the use of cannabis and...
I started when I was 52. Now I'm 64, you know, and the youngest is six.
A couple, both aged 72, win the legal right to parent a surrogate baby, meaning they'll be well into their 80s by the time that child even starts secondary school. Coming up after six, is that acceptable or is it cruel?
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock, UK prosecutors have confirmed for the first time they've authorised charges of rape and human trafficking against Andrew Tate. He and his brother Tristan are accused of 21 offences in total. They still face trial in Romania and have previously denied all of the allegations against them. The Israeli Prime Minister says they have eliminated senior Hamas leader Mohammed Sinwar, but Israeli forces have not been able to confirm his death. It's believed he was killed in a strike on a hospital in southern Gaza earlier this month, in which 28 people were killed. The Palestinian Health Ministry says one person has also been killed after forces opened fire on crowds at an aid distribution site yesterday. Palestinian ambassador to the UN, Riyad Mansour, has been giving evidence at the UN Security Council.
I have grandchildren. I know what they mean to their families. And to see the situation of the Palestinians without us having hearts to do something is beyond the ability of any normal human being to tolerate.
Police have been given more time to question a man arrested over the Liverpool Victory Parade collision. A 53-year-old is being held after a car was driven into a crowd in the city centre on Monday. At least 79 people are injured. Seven remain in hospital. Reporter Liam Gotting, who's in Liverpool, has the latest for LBC.
We know he's currently being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving while unfit through drugs. Now, Merseyside police revealed yesterday that their current belief is that the car involved in the incident was able to get onto Water Street by following an ambulance through a roadblock which had been temporarily lifted.
A retired surgeon who admitted sexually abusing hundreds of children in France has been jailed for 20 years. Joel Swarnock, who's 74, who was described by prosecutors as a devil in a white coat. He admitted attacking young patients in more than a dozen hospitals between 1989 and 2014. And Britain's Emma Raducanu is out of the French Tennis Open in the second round. She lost to world number 5 Iga Swiatek. In the city, the FTSE 100 has closed down 52 points at 87.26. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.19. LBC weather, heavy rain in the north tonight, lighter in the far south and southeast, turning windy in the southwest, a low of 6. Rain clearing for most tomorrow to leave a windy day with a mixture of sunny spells and showers in the west. Warm in the south with some rain lingering in northern Scotland, highs of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ben Kentish.
Just gone 6 o'clock, Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC this week. Very, very good evening indeed if you're just joining me here on the programme. Want to talk to you between now and the end of my show at 7 o'clock about the case of a couple who have been given legal permission to become parents of a baby boy born to a surrogate mother. You might be thinking that sounds like a good news story. That sounds like a happy development in the lives of that family. And indeed it is on one level. And yet not everybody seems to think it is quite so positive. The reason? Because the couple that have been given that right are already both aged 72 and the baby boy is just 16 months old. Let me give you some more details of this case. I'm really, really interested in your thoughts on it because I think it's a really tricky one. The couple turned to surrogacy after the death of their son from cancer in 2020. They said they had taken heart, having heard stories of other grieving parents who had found solace in having other children following the death of their children. Now, clearly, they're both 72. The prospects of having another child naturally were not open to them. So they turned to surrogacy instead. They paid £151,000 to a woman in California in order to have that baby. And then they went to court in this country to seek permission to become the legal guardians of that baby boy who is now 16 months old. And in the ruling, in the judgment, Mrs. Justice Knowles decided that, yes, those parents should and could become legal guardians of that baby boy. But there were warnings from her. She said this. This is Mrs. Justice Knowles. They have begun parenting at a time in their lives when, despite their current good health, it is foreseeable that their health will decline and that one or both of them will become seriously incapacitated or die before B reaches his majority. B being the code name that's given to this baby boy. The reality has a direct impact on B's welfare, both immediately and in the not-so-distant future. That aside, though, she said that for the sake of the permanence and security of that baby's care, it would be better for them to parent him, despite being in their early 70s, and the social and emotional benefits of family life in that family outweighed the negatives. The negatives being, by her own admission, that his parents are at the mercy of an ageing process, as this judge put it, becomes more cruel and capricious as the years go by. And that's my question to you. She uses the word cruel and capricious there. Is becoming parents, through your own choice, to a baby at the age of 72, selfish and is it cruel? Or do you see no problem with it? Now, there have been other high-profile cases of Hollywood stars, celebrities becoming parents well into middle age, if not on the border of old age. And Boris Johnson this week becoming a father to his ninth, I think it is, child at the age of 60. That's a little bit different, I think, to Hugh Grant, for example. I think that's a bit different to having a child when you are 72, when statistically, by the time that child reaches secondary school age at the age of 11, you are, on average, probably not going to be around anymore. Do you have any problem with that? Or do you think if they are loving and they are kind and they are good parents, then even if they are only here for the first 10 years of that child's life, they can still give that baby boy a start in life that will set him up well? And I should add that the couple say they have made arrangements with another couple in their 30s and with family members to take over the care and the parenting of that baby in the case of their deaths. Your thoughts on that? Any problem with it? Is it selfish? Is it cruel? Or do you think it's no one else's business at what age somebody decides to have a child, in this case through surrogacy? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. I'm in two minds on this, but I think I come down largely on the side of, while I absolutely sympathise with this couple and I understand why they've decided what they want to do, bringing a child into the world that is quite likely going to be orphaned before it even reaches puberty does not sit comfortably with me at all. Is that in the best interest of that child, given what it will have to go through? Not just losing its parents at a young age, but also growing up to parents who are increasingly going to be quite probably physically less able to keep up with the demands of parenting. I don't know if that sits comfortably with me, to be quite frank. But what about you? 0345 6060 973. Andrew Billen joins us to talk more about this, feature writer for The Times, who wrote the piece, "Hugh Grant Regrets Being an Older Dad at 64. I Know How He Feels." Andrew, come on to your piece and your experience of this. Just give us your thoughts, first of all, if you would, about this case and whether it's right to have a child when both parents are 72. Evening.
Evening, Ben. It seems to have been done out of grief, and like you, I have huge sympathy for the couple trying to replace something that will have, obviously, someone who will be irreplaceable. I think if you take away the personal circumstances, somebody having children, a child at 70, man and a woman, I think it's crazy, because you will not probably live to see them to maturity. You will be an inefficient parent by the time you're 18. My qualification for speaking on this is that I had my first child at 49, which I do think is a bit different. I wasn't Charlie Chaplin when I had my first daughter. But equally, I don't think I want the law. I don't think I want the state to decide when we can stop having children. We're not in China.
The headline of your piece about Hugh Grant regrets being an older dad at 64. I know how he feels. Do you regret that it wasn't that you weren't younger when you became a father? Is that what you're getting at there?
Exactly. Yeah. I was not regretting the children
no,
at
of
all.
Just my important own, clarification if they're listening.
You got me on a strange day. I've just bought my first hearing aids. My daughter's doing her A levels and is going to be 18. So I'm thinking about this. But the only reason I said I regretted having the children late is that when they flee the nest, which is not so far away from now, what's there to look forward to?
For you?
I think if you have children when you're 25, 35, you have this sort of third act, don't you? And
yes.
And you can go exploring the world, taking up the hobbies you didn't have time for, falling in love with your wife again, whatever it is, whatever, you know, floats your boat. When my girls are gone, I'm going to be 70 and retired, and I know I'm going to have to work very hard to replace, you know, the best things in my life, which are my daughters.
And I take your point completely, and I think obviously you're right, so there's a big difference between 72 and 49. Did you feel that your age affected your ability to be a good dad at all, or made certain things more difficult?
Well, I was very, very lucky. I decided to have girls, and I thought that reduced the possibility of me standing shivering in December at the side of a football pitch on Saturday mornings with other dads with aggressive boys on the field. And luckily, they didn't turn out to be very sporty girls either. So the fact that I get out of breath a bit didn't really come into it. In fact, if there's the people who don't want to go for a walk in my family are my wife and my two daughters. So I'd rather outstrip them physically in many ways. I'm living in a sort of middle class road in a middle class city in Oxford, and a lot of the parents were late 30s, 40s when at the school gates of my primary school. So I didn't at 52, 53, 54, I didn't feel so out of place, so decrepit that I was making a fool of myself.
So it didn't really have a big impact?
It didn't have the biggest impact as I think I feared.
But if you're 72, you are not going to be running around after a toddler in the park or playing football with them easily if you are 80 by the time that they are 8.
Yeah, and you look at the quotes from Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, who both had children at 80 or in their 80s, and they're not exactly filled with enthusiasm at the prospect of getting up in the middle of the night and changing nappies. And who would be? It's just the fact your energy levels go down, and children, small children, toddlers, frankly, teenagers too, are absolutely exhausting.
So if you are that age, it can't help but have an impact on your ability to be the active, kind of energetic parents that kids want to have.
With the best will in the world and with all the best intentions in the world, you're just not going to be as good in terms of energy as a younger parent. You might have more wisdom, you might be more calm, you might be more financially solvent. All those reasons, you might actually be a better bet.
Mm.
But in terms of just keeping up with them in the park as they toddle off towards the horizon, you can't compete.
That's an interesting that, because when we've talked about this on my normal show, 10 p.m. Monday to Thursday, people often say, well, actually, having a child when you're a little bit older has, as you've just touched on, Andrew, many, many benefits. You know your own mind, you're more secure in yourself, your relationship's more developed, you're more financially secure. And they say, actually, what's cruel is having a child when you're 18 or 19 and you don't have any of that.
Well, I always felt that about my mother, who had us in her mid-20s. And I felt she hadn't really had the life, or certainly the career that she deserved. And she'd become what was in those days for a period in her case, not always a full-time housewife, as they then called it. She then became a teacher, but she didn't enjoy it very much. I think she would have been a lot happier if she'd built up a career. And she was a very capable, intelligent woman
Do you think that apart from the sort of impact on her career, and I hope this isn't too personal, but do you think it had an impact on you and her ability to parent?
she was a hyper parent. She was on our case the whole time. She couldn't believe she'd had two such stupid little boys and was living vicariously through our exam results.
Right.
My sister was a bit better in that department. Turned out all right in the end. So I was the happiest day of my life outside of my children's births and my wedding day, I say quickly, was my A-level results day when genuinely pleased her and made her proud. She was living our lives rather than her own. And I think that was, in retrospect, sad.
Which you understood. And when you just finally, Andrew, you say it's crazy that they are having a child at the age of 72, but you also say it's not for the law. I mean, if we are saying that it's potentially harmful for that child, then why shouldn't there be some sort of legal age limit on surrogacy or adoption?
I think it would be so hard to set a date. It would be so hard to have exceptions. Maybe, you know, this couple had special circumstances. Yeah. I think that I just feel the court should butt out unless it's absolutely necessary in terms of how a child is being brought up.
It's difficult to enforce, I say that. Andrew, really interesting. Thank you very much, Need, for talking to us this evening. Andrew Billen, feature writer of The Times, who wrote the piece, Hugh Grant Regrets Being an Older Dad at 64. I know how he feels. Over to you. Your thoughts on this case and older parenting more generally. Is there anything wrong with a couple who are both age 72 having a child through surrogacy? Do you shrug your shoulders and say, good on them, I hope they become the best mum and dad they can be, and good luck to them? Or do you, like me, just think there is something... I don't want to demonise this couple too much because they've been through a lot, but something a little bit selfish, even maybe a little bit cruel, to bring a child into the world when you know full well that the chances are you won't even be there when it becomes an adolescent. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. Particularly interested from you if you are an older parent, if you had an older parent, what's it like? Do you resent this judgment that's being made about people who are older, and 72 is particularly old? And if you were somebody who had older parents, do you think it was a positive for you? Or do you think it impacted their ability to raise you in a negative way? Give me a ring on that number. Once more, 0345 6060 973. Is there anything wrong with a couple being allowed to become parents at the age of 72? And they're both 72. It's not like some other instances where mum is a lot younger and dad's a lot older. They are both 72. Your thoughts on that, the ethics of it, the morality of it, is it something that the law should even allow? Come to your calls on that in just a moment. Ben Kentish here on LBC 616.
This is LBC.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing, investment platform IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in, and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit IG.com now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
Big, big, big motoring world. Wow, wow, wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price, with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
You could be £10,000 richer just in time for summer. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Great prizes, real winners. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
At 6:18, the question has to be, doesn't it, whose needs are put first and foremost here? Whose needs are prioritised? I totally understand. I really do sympathise with this couple who, having lost their son tragically to cancer, decided that they wanted to be parents once again. But by their own admission, they say, that was their motivation. They wanted to be parents again to help them with their grief. What about the needs of the child? What about the needs of every child to grow up with security and stability and ideally parental love? Really, really challenging to have that when you are well into your 70s already and be well into your 80s by the time that that child even goes to secondary school or hits puberty. So I have issues with this. I have ethical problems with it, to be quite frank. I don't think it's fair on that little baby boy, not just because he won't have parents for the vast majority of his youth, let alone his life, but because even when they are around, are they going to be physically active enough and physically healthy enough to be the sort of parents that that baby deserves, that every baby deserves? Because as we've just seen from Andrew, parenting's hard work. You get a lot of energy. It's tiring. If you are already well into your 70s, are you going to be in physical health enough, sufficient physical health to be good parents? And I have no doubt they will, well, I hope that they will show that baby a lot of love, that they've got, clearly, if they've paid £150,000 to the surrogate, they've got the financial security to raise a child. But there is a reason, as Lucia points out on text, that human biology, Liam says there is a biological barrier for a reason. And that is a point that until relatively recently, this would likely not have been possible because we did not have the science to do it. Is it something that we should be relaxed about, content with? People having children, in this case through surrogacy, but you might also make the same argument for adoption. Well, I think that's slightly different because that child's already in the world, whereas this couple have made the decision to bring the child into the world. Is it something we should be eminently relaxed about? People having children at the age of 72. 03456060973. Let's talk to Lucia in Putney about this. Hi, Lucia.
Oh, hi. Nice to speak to you.
And you, good to have you on. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm coming at this from someone who works in the fertility industry and donor conception particularly. And I'm also the mum to donor-conceived kids as a solo mum. So I had my kids through egg donation and sperm donation when I was 46.
But by no means old, I would say.
No means old, but still, I'm 65 with two young people and no one to look after them if I get ill or die.
But they're adults now, right?
Not quite ready to go out in the world. But also, my strong feeling is, first of all, I have every sympathy for this couple because of the trauma they've been through. But my feeling greatly is that they didn't receive the kind of maybe grief counselling that they needed to go through to come to terms with not having another child. And the chances are, because of age, they definitely used an egg donor, a surrogate, maybe even a sperm donor. And in which case, that adds another layer of complexity for a future child who may not be able to talk to their parents about how they came to be, maybe to even speak to the surrogate or the egg donor and sperm donor. So I'm coming from this at a different angle, really. It's having children who are donor conceived. Mm. That's one layer. But then also, you know, I really feel it infects children to not have their birth parents, for example, or their... it doesn't matter if they're birth parents, actually, just their parents, alive at a time when they really need them. I lost my dad at 28, and that felt too young. So imagine losing your parents when you're relatively young. And I know they've got good backup, and that I appreciate all of that. But, of course, the courts in this country wouldn't necessarily leave a child to someone you nominate in a will. They would still go to social services while they're... their potential guardians.
And that's what troubles me, Lucia, is look, children lose parents, one or sometimes both at a young age. It's a tragedy. It's sometimes unavoidable, but in this case it is avoidable because they knew when they decided to go through the process of paying a surrogate to have that child and bring that baby boy into the world, that the chances are that they would, if they were lucky, they would see it's his 10th birthday.
Well, I would hope so. But I want to be kind here as well, though, because, of course, the baby is here now.
Yes.
And I think we have to be very cognizant of the fact that a real-life young baby child and soon-to-be real-life teenager, for example, exists in the world. And I can only really hope that they have enough emotional, financial and support to help them navigate what comes in the future. And, of course, wishing them every health. But my personal feeling is it's illegal in this country and many others for a good reason. The cutoff for using donor eggs in this country is 50.
Is it? I didn't know that, Lucia. Right, so there is a legal limit already in place.
It is, yes.
And it's
absolutely. 50.
Right.
Yeah, in most clinics, and there are some clinics in London that will allow you to do egg donation as a woman up to 55, but most countries have a cut-off of between 50 and 55.
And that's presumably because they've taken the decision for the sake of the unborn child that having a mum or dad that is over the age of 55 is just not fair.
Basically, yes. That's the ethical decision they've put into their law, which means that no clinic in the country would treat a woman over 55 here.
Are you comfortable with that? Because Andrew, guest Andrew was saying, once you start introducing sort of legal barriers as to who can or can't have children, then where do you draw the line? Do you say, oh, well, actually, you've got health problems, or you've got genetic diseases, or, you know, you haven't got much money, so therefore you shouldn't be able to. It's a very slippery slope, is it not, when the law starts saying who is and isn't allowed to have kids?
I don't agree with that completely, because basically most people will have children naturally. So either there'll be an older, there could be an 80-year-old dad and a, let's say, a 40-year-old mum. That could happen naturally. And it may also, you know, whether he'd be eligible for treatment, I don't know, but she certainly would be. But I think it's just because most people don't do egg donation treatment. You know, there's a minority of people, and you have to have a lot of money to do it. And it's a kind of self-selecting part of the population. So it's not like we're saying to every single couple who has a 40-year-old mum and a 70-year-old dad, for example, you can't make a baby either naturally or through IVF.
Yes.
I don't believe that slippery slope exists, personally. Yeah.
And as an older mum, and just to repeat, Lucia, 46 is far from old, but did you feel it had any bearing on your ability to be a good mum?
My kids sometimes say, Mum, do you think you're a bit old to have us? Because what do you think about, you know, as a discussion point, they're not angry or anything. They
sure.
just think, well, do you think you're a bit old? And I'll tell you why. It's because I had a stroke last year.
Right.
And it really scared my kids, because they said, Mum, we're too young for us, for you to leave us. And it really frightened them. I'm fine, by the way. I've made a really good recovery. And
pleased to hear it, Lucia. Great.
But yes, I would say, listen, I can't speak for the whole world, and there are plenty of older parents doing a fantastic job. But I think in this case, to deliberately circumvent the laws in this country to go and have babies when both of you are 72, I think is a problem. But having said that, I wish them every luck, because the baby is here and I can't wish that away.
Absolutely. And that, yeah. I think that's why the judge made the decision they did, because the judge said, look, the child's here. If we say, no, you're too old, you can't be the legal guardians, then who would be? That child probably goes into care. And if it's a choice between being raised by loving, kind, presumably parents that are desperate to have a child and happen to be 72 or going through the care system, I think the judge has got that call right.
I completely agree with that. And also, if they have a support system, or maybe, as you say, a younger couple who could be there in loco parentis, for example, absolutely fine. I don't worry about that. But I'm just talking about the wider societal and ethical issues, really.
Really interesting. Thanks, Lucia. Glad to hear on the mend as well, Lucia, in Putney. Brendan's in Woking on this. Hi, Brendan.
Hello. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I switched on the radio when she came from the gym and So listen to the story. So I don't really know all the details, apart from obviously their age. So that kind of like shocked me.
Well, that's the main one. 72 years old, and they are parents. They went through the process. It's not adopting. They went through the process of paying a surrogate mum to bring this baby into the world so that they could parent it at the age of 72.
So the reason why I wanted to call you really is because I'm a 52-year-old father of four children. My youngest is 16 months. Mm. And for me, I feel that I always kind of like wanted a sort of a cutoff, because I didn't want to be that older sort of parent at the gates and people wondering, is that the grandfather or is that the father?
Right.
Or even you know, that question being asked to, you know, my child. So I think for me personally, I've always had this kind of like finite time where I'm thinking, no, this is it. No more children from this particular age. Because I think for this particular couple, I think it's quite selfish for their child. I think that for me, it's really important as I'm starting, you know, being an older father, I feel like, you know, making sure that I'm physically fit, making sure that I eat the right foods. I think I've become more acutely aware now. I'm in my 50s.
This is why you're talking to me on the way back from the gym, Brendan.
Yes, exactly. Well, this is it. Because I'm really want to make sure that I am fit, as I'm, getting sort of older now. Mm. And I think that's really important because, like I said, it's, having my, child now, she's only 16 months. I want to make sure that I am fit. I can run around the park.
You're not, 52 is, again, not old. Are there things that you feel you can't do as a dad that you could have done if you were 35?
I don't think so. But I think for me, because I'm past 50 now, I think it's that midlife or later midlife crisis now, because I've got such a young child. My other children are, 20, 13 and 10. So there is a mix there. But still, I think for me, making sure that I am fit and I can do those things that I want to do,
yes.
I'm trying to, hold on to that sort of youthful vigour as long as possible. I think that's really important.
If you don't mind me being too personal, Brad, is the mother of your children younger than you?
She is.
Yes. So again, it's slightly different, isn't it? Because there's a lot of cases, we talked about Hugh Grant, Robert De Niro, others, where older man, including a lot older than you, by the way, has children with a much younger woman. And even then, some people say it's cruel. But even in that case, you've got one parent that is likely to be around for longer and is a bit more energetic and has that sort of youthful vigour. When you're both 72, I do think that changes it slightly. It's not one parent that's younger and one that's older. They are both well into, old age, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Really interesting. Brendan, thank you very much indeed. Love to hear from you if you are, like Brendan, an older parent. Or maybe you had kids when you were very young and you think, do you know what? Having kids when you're 45, 50 is better than having them when you're 16, 17, 18. Or if you've had, grown up to parents who were in the older bracket, however old that may be, I'll leave that to you. Pick up the phone, give me a ring. Let me know whether you think it is selfish is the word that's come up, cruel even, for people to have children when they are older. And what that cutoff should be, because I would say 46, like Lucia, 52 is not, like Brendan, that's not old. I have no problem with that at all. 72, I'm afraid that I do. I do have a problem with that. Do you? 0345 6060 973. Ben Kentish in for Thomas Warbrick here on LBC. Coming up after the news.
Criminalising people who possess it was a disproportionate and unhelpful thing to do.
London Mayor Sadiq Khan backs a fundamental reset of the laws on the use of cannabis. Why are politicians in Westminster so behind the public when it comes to debate about decriminalising cannabis? Talk more about that after news headlines. 6:31 is the time. Here's Amelia Cox.
Prosecutors have confirmed for the first time that Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan are facing 21 charges in the UK. The allegations include rape, human trafficking and actual bodily harm against three women. They've previously denied the accusations. Israeli forces say they cannot confirm the death of Hamas leader Mohammed Sinwar, though Benjamin Netanyahu says he has been eliminated. It's believed he was killed during a strike on a hospital in southern Gaza in which 28 people were killed. And two police officers who used a taser and pepper spray on a 92-year-old man who used a wheelchair have been cleared of assault. Care home staff had called 999 after Donald Burgess grabbed a table knife and threatened to stab them. LBC weather, heavy rain in the north tonight, lighter in the far south and southeast, turning windy in the southwest, a low of 6 degrees.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Is it time to decriminalise the possession of cannabis? Well, a commission that's been set up by the London Mayor Sadiq Khan and chaired by a very prominent politician thinks it probably is. The chair is Charlie, now of course Lord Faulkner, who's a KC, and joins me now. How am I going to get it? If it's decriminalised, how will I buy it?
Well, that's the compromise that is made. You have to buy it through criminal sources unless you've got...
how will your recommendations work, Lord Faulkner? Because I can use it for personal use, but the minute I go to someone on Blackheath High Street or Greenwich High Street, I'm breaking the law, am I not?
You're not breaking the law, but the person who's selling it to you is. The current position, Nick, is that so many people get it now so easily that it is extremely unlikely to have an impact on the actual amount that people use.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Barclays Ready Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
The McSpicy Frank's Red Hot is back. It's the McSpicy, but hotter. With 100% chicken breast fillet, melty cheese, fiery jalapenos, and the irresistible Frank's Red Hot Mayo. Danger, danger. Make it hot. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Participating restaurants only. Subject to availability.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Ben Kentish.
6:35 is the time. It's interesting, isn't it, that there are already limits in this country on the age at which you can become a surrogate parent. I think that's right to an extent. Surrogacy is absolutely wonderful thing, as is IVF, all the new technology, the ways that we now have of allowing people who want to be parents to become parents, I think is an overwhelmingly good thing. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I would say, by the way, that if you've gone through the stresses and the strains of IVF or the surrogacy journey, it stands you in pretty good stead, because it suggests to me that in most cases that shows that you are seriously committed to being a mum and a dad, or a mum or a dad, and that means you are likely, not always, but likely to be exactly the sort of person that we want raising children. I think it's a wonderful thing. There are limits, as Lucia, our caller, was describing, 50, 55. Clearly this couple, to have a child at the age of 72, had to go abroad. They paid an agency in California to bypass the sort of UK regulations on this. Do you have any objection to that? Do you say, look, good on them, they want a child, clearly they're desperate to have one, they'll probably be a great mum and dad for the time they are still on this earth? Or are you like me, it's the age thing that concerns me. Are you concerned that 72 is just too old, when they are both that age, to be the sort of parents that any child deserves to have? 0345 606 0973. More of your calls on that in just a moment. 6:36 is the time. You listen to Ben Kentish here on LBC. Let's talk more about Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, coming out today and backing calls for the partial decriminalisation of cannabis, at least the possession of the drug. It comes after the independent London Drugs Commission proposed doing exactly that, keeping the sale of the drug illegal, but decriminalising those who use it for personal use. Is that a good idea? The answer, a resounding no from both the Conservatives and the Labour Party, who say decriminalising cannabis in any way would be the wrong decision. Let's talk about that with Zach Polansky, deputy leader of the Green Party, who is running to be the Greens' new leader. Zach, good to have you with us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Sadiq Khan, onto something here when he says it's time to partially decriminalise it.
Absolutely. I'm really pleased to see Sadiq Khan making the right call here. I'm often the first to criticise Sadiq being elected in the London Assembly when he gets things wrong, but I also think it's important to be magnanimous when politicians get things right. My colleague Zoe Garbutt, a Green Assembly member on the Assembly, has pushed Sadiq on this ever since she's been elected, and he has now arrived in the right place. Quite simply, the war on drugs is failing, and the idea that both the Labour Party and Conservative Party nationally just want to keep pushing at something that isn't working, that is pushing young people in particular into the criminal justice system, is pushing them into the black market, I think doesn't make sense to most people. And as you phrased earlier on, the public are much further ahead than the two old parties.
We'll come on to that, because I want to argue, I mean, undeniably that's true. We'll come on to why. Would you like to see it decriminalised completely, or just the proposal today that the possession of it in small quantities would be legal, but the sale of it would remain outlawed?
So I think this is an important interim step, but actually Green Party policy is to legalise and regulate. Zoe went recently to Glasgow, where they now have drug consumption rooms. Mm. What this means in practice is at festivals, for instance, if you wanted to get your drug tested safely, you could know exactly what was in your drug. I think it's about facing the fact that young people in particular are going to take drugs at festivals, they're going to smoke cannabis. Would we rather they're smoking or taking drugs and we have no idea what's in those drugs, or would we rather they're done in a regulated safe way?
You're assuming that more people, if it was legalised, wouldn't start using it. One study found that actually if you did decriminalise it, nearly 6 million people that currently don't use cannabis would start to do so if it was legal. That's not something we want, is it?
I think the problem is when people use drugs in problematic ways, and you could include alcohol and cigarettes in this, by the way. I think the most important thing is that we're led by healthcare professionals, and that's exactly what this independent London Drugs Commission is. It's about people with no political agenda here going, what is the best thing to make sure that people are kept safe? And also the amount of money this brings into our economy. That's often not an argument you expect to hear a Green say, talking about economic growth in its own terms. But actually legalising cannabis would bring money by tax returns, and also making sure that it's actually
sure,
being bought.
But Zach, at what cost? I mean, this is a dangerous substance. This can lead to paranoia. This can have significant impact on the people that use it. You will hear a lot of people who were cannabis addicts saying, actually, it destroyed my life. So yes, it might bring in more taxes, but at enormous cost to some of the people that are using it.
So the people I always really want to listen to are a lobby group called Anyone's Child, which is a group made up of parents, brothers and sisters who have lost people to the war on drugs, who have lost their lives to drugs, who are saying actually the best thing you could do is legalise and regulate it. In terms of paranoia, there's lots of evidence to show that it's correlation and not causation. That if someone is anxious in life, or if they are paranoid, then they might turn to cannabis to medicate for those symptoms. Again, that's not for me as a politician to decide what's right or wrong, but I think it's important that medical experts follow the science on that. And increasingly, in larger numbers, they are saying actually medicinal uses for cannabis are also really important. And that's something, again, it would be much better if it wasn't happening on the black market.
Let's touch on the politics of this, because you are right. More people in terms of the public at large support decriminalising cannabis completely than support keeping it illegal. And yet you've had a very swift reaction, unsurprisingly, from both Labour and the Conservatives saying we must not decriminalise cannabis. Labour Party says we have absolutely no plans to do this. The Tories say doing so would be soft on crime. Why do you think Westminster, or at least the main parties, are sort of so behind the public on this?
I think we see this on lots of issues, and not just cannabis decriminalisation. But I think a lot of it is they're in hock to the Daily Mail and other right-wing newspapers, where they're really just chasing that vote. We also know in a split first-past-the-post system, we're seeing this on immigration too, that actually I think the public are much compassionate and kinder towards the idea of migrants and people seeking refugees than we see from the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. And it's this kind of chasing this vote the entire time that I think does not represent the broader view at large. I think more than anything as well, it's about a fear of being risk averse about anything that they might be criticised for. I would encourage those national politicians to know that they wouldn't be criticised for this, the public are actually behind them.
Well, they would by some quarters, as you say. 42% of people still think it would be the wrong decision. So
and I think this is an exact example where I hope Sadiq Khan really finds the bravery here. Both he's commissioned the Drugs Commission, although it's 4 or 5 years late. Zoe Garbett has been at him about that. But also now that it is commissioned and the evidence is out, I hope it's not just today he talks about it.
But he can't do anything about it. He can't decriminalise cannabis unilaterally in London. He has no power.
Well, that's a good argument for devolution, that actually ultimately mayors do need more powers.
Not on drugs legislation. You can't have people in Essex being unable to buy cannabis, but people in London being able to. That's mad.
Well, I think the Mayor of London needs to represent Londoners, and we know that when Londoners' health is at risk. For instance, by the way, there's a really important point here, that in terms of stop and searches, young black men are much more likely, 6 times more likely to be stopped and searched than their white counterparts.
It can't be a devolved issue. Drug policy has to be a national decision. You can't have a postcode lottery in drug laws.
No, but if we look at the police force, for instance, where he does chair the Metropolitan Police, we're seeing the Met Police run much more stops and searches on young black men, despite the fact that all evidence shows from today, this report, that actually young white men are just as likely to be in possession of cannabis. So there's a clear racial bias here.
They're not just looking for cannabis. They're looking for weapons, they're looking for knives, they're looking for guns, they're looking for other drugs.
But often it's under the first kind of movement towards it is smell. And this report, again, is saying that's actually a really bad reason to stop and search someone. Ultimately, we want to look at much more preventative measures, a much more community-led approach to policing, rather than pushing people into the criminal justice system.
Really interesting. Thank you for coming, Zach.
Thanks so
Zach
much.
Polanski, deputy leader of the Green Party, is running to be the leader of that party. If you've got thoughts on that, do get in touch. 03456060973. A split now emerging between our political class, partly at least. Sadiq Khan saying yes to partial decriminalisation of cannabis. The two main Westminster parties saying absolutely not. Who's got this one right? 03456060973. 6:43 the time. Back to our conversation about a couple becoming parents through surrogacy at the age of 72. Is there nothing wrong with that, or does that make you uncomfortable given the age that they are. Let's talk to Ryan in Sydenham more about that. Hello, Ryan.
How you doing, Ben?
Yeah, I'm good, sir.
I'll fire into it because I know you're up against the break. Look, my first instinct with this was that that these parents were kind of bringing this child into existence purely to become an orphan, you know, by its 10th birthday. And then I kind of sat there and I kind of considered the opportunities that this child is going to be born into. Like, for me personally, I'm 42. My husband is 37. We just bought our first house because my other half's parents stumped up the money for a deposit for us. In other words, even though I've got both my parents, they both live relatively local, but we have no relationship, and I've essentially lived kind of grafting for myself from a very, very early age. I've had to work for every single thing I've got, and I work very, very hard for it. Then I considered the situation of this kid. This kid is going to be born to parents who went to America to circumvent the rules. They paid over 150K, yep, for something that I've read the article, and it said that the judge deemed that the reasonable fee for the recompense to the surrogate would have been 25K. So they've paid massively over the odds for that. They've got a support network in for this kid so that there's already what's it called, a will in. So that if they pass on, the family that's going to be looking after, well, the people, the couple that are going to be taking over care of their child are going to be, they're going to have to worry. You know, on top of that, whilst they're going to be doing it, obviously at 72 or 70 plus, it's going to be looked after with a nanny. All I can see from this is this child is going to be born into a situation where we know its parents aren't going to be there for the duration, but the time that this child is going to be there, he's going to be able to look at, he or she is going to be able to look at his parents and say, they're absolute legends. They went above and beyond.
Do you think
above and beyond?
Do you not think that child will look back and say, why did they bring me into this world when they were going to leave that same world when I was, we don't know how long they live, but if it's on average, just 10 years old?
But what's the reason that they did it? Because they brought this child in for love.
They did.
That's the thing.
Yes. I take what you're saying, Ryan, that if that child is loved while the parents are here, and then they put plans in place to make sure that child continues being loved and looked after when they're not here, then is it that big of a problem?
For me, it's a case of if I had the opportunities that this child has been given and I've worked the way that I'd worked through my life, well, this child will be given, yeah, everything is going to be set out for it. I would have gone very, very... Don't get me wrong, I live a decent lifestyle, I work hard, I've got a decent job. I could have taken leaps and bounds with the start in life that this child is going to receive.
But money and wealth and sort of economic advantage, can that compensate for not having parents beyond the age of... Well, again, we're assuming, but let's say 10, 15. I don't know. I find this really conflicting, Ryan. You make a good point, and you make me sort of waver, but it doesn't sit comfortably with me, purely because of the age. Even if they've been 50, even 60, even if you're around long enough to see that child into adulthood, that's a very different question, isn't it? Thought-provoking. Thank you, Ryan. Lots of calls coming on this. Come to those in just a moment. It's 6:46.
Coming up at 7 on LBC, Ian Dale.
Resident doctors got a 22% pay rise last year. They're now demanding another 29% and threatening more strikes if they don't get it. Your thoughts at 7.
Ian Dale on LBC.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate. Got any tips?
Sometimes, pal, your best bet is not to bet at all. And BetVictor's app makes it really easy, simple and safe to do so. They've got lots of helpful features to help you manage your time and your spend online. But it also really helps that I can't find my blooming phone half the time.
Yeah, that does really help.
I don't even know where it is now. I can hear it, but I can't see it. Sandra?
Listen to Harry, and please gamble responsibly. 18 plus gambleaware.org.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
Frank says the two main parties have got it wrong as usual. Cannabis can be problematic for some people, but so can alcohol and cigarettes. They actively kill people. Millions of people use cannabis recreationally, but society hasn't crumbled. And it's all ages, genders and races, not just young black men, says Frank. I hear you, Frank. It is a double standard. If alcohol was invented today, or tobacco, it would probably be illegal. But that's not a reason to legalise cannabis just because there's a double standard. I think it should be decriminalised, at least partially. Why do you think the politicians are so opposed to that idea? Why are they behind public opinion on this issue, do you think? 03456060973, if you've got thoughts on that. So too, if you want to comment on our main conversation this hour about a couple having a child through a surrogate at the age of 72. Is there anything wrong with being a parent who is older and having children, in this case, when I would say you are elderly? Do you just shrug your shoulders and say that's a personal decision, not for anybody else to judge? Or do you think there is something unfair, unreasonable, selfish even, about having a baby at the age of 72? And if you do, at what age? Where do we draw that line? Where do we put that cutoff between being young enough to be a good parent and too old in the eyes of society? Nicola's calling on that from Midhurst. Evening, Nicola.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Pleasure. I work in early years and I also have six children of my own. And I was a young parent, but I have to say, in my profession, I feel that when you're actually considering introducing to a family where you're already having to put initial early help in, just at those early stages of birth is really, really concerning. When we have nursery children come in who've spent weekends with grandparents, we see higher levels of accidents and incidents because grandparents have less ability to be physically able to manage children's emotions, physically be able to react to situations. Their eyesight isn't as good. They've got delays. And actually, when you're talking about a little child who's coming in, going to need so much support, given that they're going into a situation where they are obviously so loved, but they're not going to be able to meet the needs of that child in the first 5 years
of life. It's not definite that they won't, is it, Nicola? It's not, I mean, they are, for now, and the judge made a point of saying this, in good health, those parents.
Well, they're already saying that they're having a nanny, so they obviously can't meet the needs. Otherwise, why would they need the nanny?
But lots of people have a nanny just to give extra support. It doesn't mean they're having a nanny because they can't cope.
No, but they're already anticipating that ability to not be able to cope, otherwise they wouldn't put one in.
Is that not the sign of what Ryan was saying, is that yes, they are aware that they are unusually old as parents, and that's why they're putting in place other systems, other support to make sure that that child isn't just reliant on them for love and care?
I think they'll just be going into a position in society where they're going to feel that they are not the norm, that they won't have a natural ability to fit in anywhere because they will have extremely older parents. You know, the grandparents we see are in their 60s.
That's interesting.
They're not in their 70s. So, and actually, you're putting a disadvantage just in that social standing with their confidence levels.
As in the child will sort of be, there will be a sense of stigma around that
Absolutely.
Child because their parents are so unusually old.
Absolutely.
Is that a reason not to have it? Not to have him?
I think, yeah, collectively, I think it's incredibly selfish. If they were actually in the situation where they were thrown into that position where, for instance, their son or daughter had a child that had been orphaned and they were taking on
yes,
that role for a temporary period, that would be very different. But I think actually in a controlled environment where they're choosing to put a child into that position, I just feel it's very selfish for them and they're not really considering the well-being and the needs of the child.
Well, they clearly are, or they wouldn't have been sort of making clear, you know, making contingency plans and having other guardians lined up. They clearly have thought about this, but you're saying that's no substitute for having an actual parents around for longer.
I think it's a combination. It's about actually knowing that those difficulties will be hitting them so quickly and potentially put them in a really vulnerable position. You know, I lost my father to dementia and he was 75. That came on very quickly. Yes. And I, as an adult, found that incredibly challenging. And to do that to a child who is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, and just putting the stress, or the possible stress on them, it's too much. And I think actually if you've got to have that guardianship in place, they should be involved right from the very beginning so that they've got more of an extended family, because actually it's the guardian that actually should take on the role as a parent, and then they could have the relationship as a grandparent as a natural progression. That's what happens when you get old, you get ill, and you still got that stable base.
Interesting. Thank you, Nicola. And let's talk to Peter in Oxford this evening. Peter, where are you on this one? It's dividing opinion. More people, I think, coming on, getting in touch to say it is wrong, it is unfair.
Yeah.
I'm still slightly conflicted on it. Where are you?
I totally agree with the last caller. I'm 38 years old. Myself and my wife have been trying for a baby for a couple of years now without luck. And because of my childhood, I think in a few years I would stop trying. My mum died when I was 9. My father died when I was 13. Yeah. They weren't old parents. They were just unfortunate. And it's controlled my whole life. I went to a loving family after. I went to my grandparents. I had aunties and uncles. You know, so I went to the best place you could imagine, not care. But it's affected my mental health every day of my life since that's happened. And I just could not imagine bringing a child into this world to know that you wouldn't see it on its 18th birthday. Those kind of milestones, they stick in you. Like, I think it's completely selfish to do that. And they're going to cause some serious mental health issues for their child.
It's going to be hard. Of course it's going to be hard having parents who are that old and who are likely to not be with in this world for much of that child's life. Just to get slightly philosophical, though, for a moment, Peter, it seems to me the sort of question is it better to exist? Is it better to be brought into this world, even if you only have parents for the first 10, 15 years of your life, than not be born at all? And that is the sort of, that is the situation that those parents were in. If you can bring a child into the world, you can give it 10 years of your love and then have systems in place to make sure that it continues to get support. Is that not better than that child not having a life at all? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it's getting very philosophical. But
that's the dilemma we're grappling with, isn't it?
I don't know. When I think, you know, I've got friends that had not great parents. I had great parents for 9 or 10 years. Then, you know, I would still rather be in my position where I had great parents for a while than bad parents for a lifetime. But I don't know whether or not, you know, many times in my life I prefer to have not been born.
Really? Because of what you had to go through losing your parents so young?
Yes.
Oh, Peter, I'm so sorry.
That's right.
And you can empathise with this little boy already.
Yes,
because
definitely.
Of what he will have to go through, something not too dissimilar from what you had to go through, albeit in very different circumstances.
Yes, you're correct.
Take care of yourself, Peter. Thank you for calling in. And that's it, isn't it? Is it fair to inflict that on that baby boy? However sort of good the support systems are elsewhere, that baby will have a mum, a child will have a mum, and it will have a dad. And at some point when it is very young, it will no longer have a mum or a dad. And that it really, really touches me, and it saddens me. Is it cruel? Is it selfish? Strong words. But when you hear Peter there talking about what he went through, is the answer to that question as much sympathy as we have with that couple? Sadly, yes, it is. Michael's in Sunderland tonight. Michael, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. I'm sorry I've come into the debate a bit late. Certainly maybe 70 is a bit too old, okay? But I'm now 62, okay? And at 57, I fought to get my grandson, because something happened to his parents, he was 9 months old, okay? And I had to go to court to prove that I could go after him. I spent £19,000 to bring my own grandson up into this world. Okay, he's now 5. But what I'm trying to say to you is, at least the child gets love and care. Do you know how many children out there who don't even have anything what my grandson had with me? And because I'm older, I've got knowledge and experience with bringing my own children up. To just not count for anything rather than 15, 16 or 17-year-olds bringing children up who haven't got a clue these days.
Well, that's a very, very valid point, Michael. Is that cruel as well? Because when you're old, yes, there are downsides, but there are also big advantages. You're more secure, you're more stable in your life, your relationship, financially. There are benefits to being an older parent as well as negatives.
Yeah. it's like most things in life, isn't it? Experience. Everybody wants people who's 40, 50, 60-year-old in whatever jobs. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is the dynamics of the family life these days is so complicated and so complex. It is not like when I was younger. I come from a family of seven. Okay. We were all brought up in the same house, same mum, dad and everything. I've got family relatives. One of them's got three kids to three different dads and she's only 30. What's that going to be dynamics of three children all got three different surnames in the same house?
Michael, I appreciate the call. Got to leave it there. Thank you very, very much indeed. Grateful for your contribution. Grateful for wrapping up our conversation. That's it from me. I'm out of time, I'm afraid. Thank you for your company this evening. I'm back with you tomorrow from 4 p.m. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player and the brand new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion, put your news categories in the order that you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Get that now from your app store for free, or at globalplayer.com as well if you want Global Player. Coming up at 10 on LBC, Simon Marks. Right now, Ian Dale.
Thanks, Ben. I don't know if it's my age, but I'm having repeated experiences of Groundhog Day at the moment. It often involves Donald Trump, but today it's the resident doctors, formerly known as junior doctors, who are causing it. Remember when they were demanding a 35% pay rise to make up for loss of pay since 2008? Well, they got 22%, and this year they're now demanding another 29%. Now, I may not be very good at maths, but something doesn't add up there. Do you support this new pay claim and their threat of renewed industrial action? On Cross Question at 8, journalist Angela Epstein, Labour MP Chris Curtis, Naomi Smith from Best for Britain, and Reform UK's Alex Wilson. And at 9, Sadiq Khan wants to relax UK drug laws, but how far should we go?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.